You're listening to Ross FM 94.6, and this is the WOW Show, World of Women. And kindly joining us on the line today, we have Isabel Stahl, who is a yoga teacher and mind coach. Isabel, you're very welcome to Ross FM today, and thank you kindly for joining us for this interview.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
We're actually very excited to speak with you too. I've had a good look at your bio, and you've had such an interesting life. Isabel, I have a few questions here. I'm not going to keep you for too long because I know you're a busy person. But Isabel, just getting to our first question, you grew up in Stockholm. And can you talk to us a little bit about what it was like growing up with two doctors as parents? And did you feel under pressure to perform academically from a young age?
Well, first of all, it was great in that sense to have two doctors as parents, definitely, except that they were super busy people. But I would say that yes and no. They definitely had this a pressure that they wanted me to perform. And I know, I remember my dad always told me, like, I want one of my kids to become a doctor, you know, can't you do it? I was like, no, I don't want to do it. Talk to someone else of my siblings. Yeah. I was like, no, I have to do what I want to do. I don't want to be a doctor. So, but it did definitely help to have that sort of pressure because I had dyslexia. So like reading and writing and all of that was so hard for me. But my mom always said, like, you know, I'm dyslexic and I could become a psychiatric doctor. So, you know, anything is possible.
Absolutely.
Don't take that as a problem, you know. Just decide what you want to do anyway and work hard for it. So that helped. And I did that. Like, I was like, it's so hard for me to write. And still it is when I post on Instagram. Like, it still looks like someone who's not learned to write in English properly. But, you know, I just got to learn. Yeah.
And I mean, with dyslexia, it's audio and speaking, there's no difference at all. It's only letters and words that you would have difficulty in piecing together. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and that's right. Yeah.
So, is also dyslexic, and he achieved great things in life as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's interesting when you see, because it's just kind of that you work in a different way. It's not like usually dyslexic people have emotionally much more developed, you know, so it's like you have different qualities in those sort of people. So you see a lot of entrepreneurs actually that are dyslexic because they have that. Yeah. So it doesn't have to stop you. And I really appreciated that they didn't. They use that to help me
to
grow anyway, you know.
Mm. And Isabel, can I ask, at what point in during your life, at some stage, you came to the conclusion that you hadn't kind of reached your life purpose, and you were having thoughts such as, is this all there is, or there has to be more to life? At what point in your life did you start to have thoughts like that?
Actually, it started quite early for me because I had this, I think because I grew up with parents that, like, economically and everything, like, on the outside looked really good, but not always a good kind of on the inside, so to speak, the relationship between my parents and all of that. And I think that the friends we had, like, were very successful people. And still I met a lot of people that seemingly had everything, but I could still see and sense and feel that they were not truly happy, you know. Mm-hmm. And that made me think, like, oh, we're being so pushed in the society. Oh, you need this, all these ingredients, I like to say, for a happy life. Oh, you need a good education and the job and the house and the car and the dog and, you know, all of this stuff that we think we need to be happy. And when I saw people had all that, I was like, but that's not the means to being happy, really. So I get really confused by it, and I think I get really obsessed by it, really. But then what's the meaning, you know? And that made me really depressed after a while, actually, because I felt like if I didn't find this meaning, then I don't want to do all of that. I don't want to get the education and the job and then wake up in 20 years. I'm like, oh, what happened? You know, what did I do? So in a way, that was good, but it was a hard start.
That is good. And especially when society tells you, you need to do this, 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 and this to be happy in life. Mm-hmm. And you see people who have this, 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 and this, and they're not happy.
Yeah.
That sends out an alarming message of society is telling me these people should be happy, but they're not. So who's wrong?
That's the thought.
That's it. So
I was just going to say, and then you don't really know where to turn to, because then who is happy and what does that really mean? And what's really like, what's the deeper sense of it? And I didn't feel I had anyone to look up to at that point that had that. And of course, there are people, a lot of people in the world who are successful and happy and all that, but from kind of the lenses that I looked through, I didn't see them at that time, you know?
Okay. And you kind of start to ask yourself questions like, what is happiness? I think it brings a question in your life.
Exactly.
Do you feel that this really contributed to your depression as a teenager?
Yeah, totally. I can, at least from like afterwards, I can see how that was the trigger to it all, basically, because I thought like, oh, if I don't find this meaning of mine, then I don't want to do this. Like, I took it so far that I don't even want to live, you know? Oh. Why should I live a life that's, for me, false, like where I don't feel this really sense of knowing why I'm here, you know? So yeah, I took it pretty serious, this question.
But also very understandable. Yeah. And your transformation is a true testament to the fact that without purpose and meaning in life, money means nothing. And would you agree with that statement?
I would definitely agree with it. Because money is, it's so much to put into the word money, but a lot of people, I guess, believe that you need to have all this outside sources, and money is so important as well, but that doesn't bring you happiness, but it can definitely contribute to it if you already have it.
Yeah.
So it's nothing wrong with money.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Right? If you're already happy, then money is awesome. But it doesn't bring you happiness.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because there is nothing wrong with money, and it is an absolutely fantastic resource.
Yes.
Just to get on to a more serious subject, again, you went through a very tough time mentally at a very young age in your life. And at your darkest moment, when you had contemplated suicide, a shift occurred. Would you call this a spiritual awakening? And could you describe how this felt?
Yeah, I could try to describe it, because it actually took me so many years before I even mention this to anyone, because afterwards it felt like, did this really happen, and can anyone really understand this? Because it felt like it was so out of this world, so to speak. And I, to explain it, it felt like, actually, I was at a funeral that day, and it was my cousin, sadly enough, had actually committed suicide, and he was only 25, so he was a little bit younger than I am now. And I was sleeping at a hotel room outside of Stockholm, and it felt like I couldn't go any deeper into my pain. It was like, I felt like, so just lying in the bed, almost like feeling like I'm alive, but I'm dead in a way. And I guess I gave up, you know, it felt like I gave up all of a sudden. And this kind of brick wall that I built up of pain, it felt like it all just crumbled down. And this incredible, strong energy of love, of kind of bliss, of this, what is described as this, you know, godly state, not godly, but like, uplifted state, you could say. And it felt like I just all of a sudden understood all of that I'd been questioning before. So it was like this, it was a really amazing experience. It was absolutely, I'm so grateful, because it, after now when I see it, it feels like it was a glimpse of how we could feel and how we could actually live. That it's this state of love and bliss is not an unreal place somewhere, you know. It's actually something that's always available to us if we are open to it.
That's actually so interesting.
I still, like, it took me so many years to even understood, like, what really happened that night. I don't really know, you know.
It's funny you mentioned
that. But it was,
because reading a book, Eckhart Tolle, the author of The Power of Now, he described in the book a similar kind of experience.
Yeah, so true. It is. I read that too of him. That's really interesting. And actually, when I've been reading other people having similar experience, then I'm like, okay, so maybe this actually was not just in my mind, you know?
No, and
It's something that.
it's almost like a letting go. It's a letting go of your pain.
Yeah.
As you said, you got to the
Exactly.
end point of the pain that you couldn't go any deeper. And after that, you just let go. It can't touch you anymore, really.
Exactly, yeah. So that was really beautiful. But it felt like I was walking around for a few months in this kind of out of worldly space. Like I didn't feel human emotions really. I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel sadness, or like I was just super blissful. And
Oh.
it was real, but it was like I didn't really I didn't stay in that state, which I'm very glad of. I had this other, yeah, I felt, to keep it very shortly, I kind of came back down on the earth again. So, and I
Hopefully
realized
not
that
with
I had to,
a pain.
yeah, well, it was like, really realizing that I have to go through all of what I've built up. Like, if I want to, cause, sorry, I'm like trying to find the right words, but
That's okay.
if I
Take your
want,
time.
I wanted to help people. That's the realization that if
Okay.
this is a feeling that's available to us humans, then that's a part of my purpose, to live that myself and to help other people
And to share.
connect to that inner space they have.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really able to explain this to anyone because it felt like I was so out of this world, like I said. And I had this moment where I kind of came back to my body, came back to the pain that I'd been feeling before, and realized that I actually have to go through this one step at a time.
Okay.
So it was not just like, oh, now I'm all of a sudden in bliss and my life is awesome for the rest of my life. No, really, right? So it was really good because then, or I kind of went back to a little bit of depression after that, and I had to kind of go step by step,
True.
learning how to grow and release the old pain and release the old patterns. And that was not just something doing from one second to the next. And anyone who has had depression or anything else, they definitely know that it
Yeah.
takes time. So then I had
Absolutely.
to, after that, I had to like really, yeah, take one step at a time, basically.
Okay, so it's almost like you stepped outside of your pain and just had a look back in and learned how to kind of come
Yeah.
through it. But with pain, it's
Yeah, does
you
that
really
make
have to
sense or
feel it. It makes perfect sense what you're
yeah.
saying. I find that I can actually identify with you a little bit in this regard.
Yeah.
Can
Yes.
you talk to us a little bit as well about how things started to change for you after this? I mean, I know that you say there you went back into depression a bit and you learned, but can you talk to us about coming out of that and how that
Yeah.
experience and shift helped you and how things started to change?
Yes, definitely. So when I had a few years back and forth with kind of using some drugs and doing some things to numb myself because I didn't know how to deal with my emotions, but
Okay.
realizing my purpose gave me this kind of, I knew where I was going. I just had to figure out how to go there, you
Okay.
know, how to create the life that I really wanted and feel good inside. So I started to, what did I really do? It was many things because I decided that I was gonna ask for help first of all with my drug problems because I thought that I was gonna be able to do it myself, but I couldn't.
No.
So I asked for help and I decided to move away from my environment because I realized that the environment I'd created, the friends I had, and like not that I had only bad friends, many good as well, but the environment I created was not good for me to grow in.
Okay.
So that was one of the big reasons I decided I wanted to move to Norway, to Oslo. So basically, I just took my license, I got a cheap car, and I took everything and I moved. I was like, this is giving me a new chance.
Wow. Yeah, that was a very
And
mature
I,
decision.
yes, and I felt like now I have to grow up because my parents were very good to me. It was not like, yeah, we were having a wealthy life in Stockholm, and I felt
Yeah.
like I don't want to take their money. I don't want to take their support, I want to really be able to grow myself. And then I have to challenge myself in that way.
That's incredible for somebody of age 19 to make a decision like that, to move out of an environment and to go into another country and support themselves. That was incredible.
That was really good. So that was a few things I felt like I had to do to move forward.
And ultimately, it did help you with coming away from drugs and changing your life.
Exactly. And it did, yeah.
What was it like to actually head out into the world on your own? How did you feel when you moved to Norway?
Well, it felt good, but luckily it's not like very, very far away. So I did. So it was not like this other side of the world, but it was a big step anyway. And I was very determined because I already knew, like I said before, I had this plan in my head, like in my heart, that I knew I was going to go to Norway. I knew I was going to travel to India. I knew I want to start my own company. I had this kind of ideas of what I wanted already. So that kept me motivated. And so when I moved to Norway, so that was really good. Like I had this plan in my head, at least, what I was going to do there.
It was good that you had an idea of what you wanted to do. But did you reach a point in Norway where you said to yourself, I'm out of here, I'm off to India, or that was just always part of your plan?
That was actually always part of my plan that I had from when I was living in Stockholm. So I knew that I wanted to go there to go deeper into my spiritual practice and and educate myself to start the yoga and the coaching company as well. So so the work I did first in Oslo was just to like save money myself, not getting money from my parents, like doing one step at a time so I could, grow and be able to be that person that can actually help other people. Because a long time I felt like I want to help other people, but I can't even help myself. So how can I be anything for anyone, It's like I have to really do it myself first. And that was really, really good as well.
And that would help to build your character as well. It is a character building experience, really, when you go out into the world and start earning money and supporting yourself. Because it's not easy.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a bit? This is something I'm hugely interested in myself, and I'm sure our listeners are very interested also. But can you tell us about your experience in India? And did you learn an awful lot about meditation and spirituality while you were there?
Yes, definitely. I was there for over 4 months that first time. I've been there several times after, but I did a yoga teacher training. So that's I totally recommend to do something if you're interested in spirituality or personal development, to do something intensely for a long time, like for a month. You're only focus on from 6 o'clock in the morning to 7-8 o'clock in the night only on going inside and going deeper. And that was a really good experience for me. And I felt like I got to meet a lot of my shadows there because I didn't have anything to hide. Yeah. Like I couldn't hide behind any drugs, any work, otherwise it's so easy to be occupied with stuff. Yeah. You don't have time to really look at yourself. But then you're there all day long, you're going to look inside, it's like, I don't want to see anymore. Give me a break.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And those intense times, it's good not all the time, but it's good to take them, at least for me it was, to really like face myself,
And you kind of have to do that in life. There comes a time, I think, in everybody's life where you need to sit down and take a good, long look within.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of people in the world and they can't sit still for 10 minutes, let alone from 6 in the morning until 8 in the evening.
Exactly.
And were you?
And I want to share a little story. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Please
So I was living also 2 months in a meditation ashram. Mm-hmm. And for 1 month. So this was a pretty intense trip in general, but this was a pretty intense month because I was doing something called Mystic Rose. It was, I don't know if you heard about Osho, but he's an old spiritual leader. He's dead now, but I was at this ashram anyway. And he had this process called Mystic Rose that is really to kind of peel the layers, so to speak, of this of all the emotions, all the layers that we have covering what we really are, you know?
Okay.
And you're going to, for 1 week, you're sitting in a room just laughing, like just laughing without any reason for 3 hours every day. And then after the week, it sounds crazy. It was super crazy as well. And the second week, you were sitting for 3 hours every day crying without not talking, only crying. That's it. And the last week was only silence. And for those weeks, I was also in silence in general. So I didn't talk to anyone and was just doing this. And it was like, looking back, I was like, wow, that's pretty intense stuff because it's the emotions, bringing out all the emotions. And that's why, you know, sitting and meditating can be very hard for people today because we have so much stress, so much thought, so much going on in our lives. And maybe we need to get that out first. So that's the philosophy. Get all the emotions, all the thoughts out, and then you can find this silence more easily. Wow. And that's the first time I was like, wow, is this meditation? It just feels so silent in my head. I've never felt that's so amazing. Silent.
Oh, I need that silence. I mean, because it's so difficult to silence the mind.
Exactly. And before thinking of just sitting and meditating, it made me stress even thinking about it. I was like, oh, no, I can't sit down.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel like that.
Yes, definitely.
And I think by feeling the emotions, as you discussed there, it teaches you not to be afraid of them as well. I mean, if you sit down for 3 hours and cry, you're not going to be afraid of that emotion of sadness. And if you feel better, you're not going to, you know, that's actually a really wonderful story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Isabel, can you tell me, were you immediately drawn to the practice of yoga?
I started actually to practice yoga when I lived in Stockholm and meditation as well. So that was something that came pretty early, but actually was not the yoga that you see today. You see the yoga like poses and you're moving. It's like a very bodily focus.
Yeah.
But I was very interested in the meditation, in the spirituality. So that's where it started for me. So the yoga practice in that sense came later on. But moving my body in that sense and using the breath and using calming the mind has been, to say it simply, a lifesaver for me. So definitely was something I was drawn to very early.
Just moving on to our next question here. You started your first company at age 21, which was a home care business that included walking dogs, cleaning and grocery shopping for wealthy clients. Would you say this was down to you having an inbuilt entrepreneurial spirit?
Yeah, definitely. I was, like I mentioned that I had this. Actually, when I went to high school, I did like business economy as an focus because I knew like I was going to start a company. So I need to know at least something. I'm not good with numbers, like I said, numbers and like spelling and stuff, not my type, but I'm going to learn at least the basic because I know I was going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I didn't know when or how or what, but I knew that like that was going to be a part of my life. so when I came back after India, I had this job before in Oslo. I was like, I don't want to work for someone else telling me what to do, making my schedule. Like, I want to do it myself. And luckily, my boyfriend, Paul, he has been an entrepreneur for many years. So he was like, just do this. You know, he had to, like, just came out with an idea. Like, you can just do this. This is so simple. Just start your own thing now. I was like, oh, but maybe I should wait. It was like, he's like, don't wait. Just do it. You know, I was like, okay, good idea. Yeah. So he was definitely helping me to start that early.
Oh,
so I need to thank you for that.
And good advice from your boyfriend because, you know, the best way to do something is to just do it. But there are a lot of people and they do wait forever, you know. But I think the true entrepreneurs, they just get in there and they start. you know.
Exactly.
So obviously you were working very long hours at that time if you were working for yourself, but afterwards you went on to become a yoga teacher and more than doubling your salary and reducing your hours. Do you feel that teaching yoga and helping others greatly enhances your own sense of well-being?
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yes.
I'm so, so grateful for what I'm doing now, because that's what I use most of my time as a yoga and meditation teacher. And the thing is that I so often I sit in class and I just like stop myself and I think, wow, I'm so grateful for being here, because it not only grounds me and puts me in this, I need to challenge myself to grow, but to be aware and to be present. And so often if I had like a, if I had a rough morning or I had like some negative thoughts or whatever, I always feel better when I come home from work. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
I'm like,
come
wow, this is like
better after work.
yes, it's awesome. So
it
so many ways it keeps me growing. So I'm really, really grateful. And I love working with people. I love being around people, and it feels a little bit like magic to me. Creating this space where people can grow in, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's a wonderful,
I'm really grateful.
Wonderful industry to be in, and I can feel the gratitude coming over the line here. I can actually feel the gratitude, and you're a calming type of person. You're a believer in the law of attraction, Isabel. Do you feel that yoga can help to clear any?
Yeah. So I also have this education as a law of attraction life coach. So combining yoga, meditation, and mental training. This is, and also the knowledge about law of attraction has been the most, I think, powerful combinations. That you have these blockages and things in your physical body, also in your mind. It's all linked together. So if you're, let's say that you need to change all of them, let's say like that. You need to know how to change your thoughts, the way you think, the way you believe about yourself and your life in general, and you need to bring this into your body as well, like how you move, how you talk, how you walk, how you stand. All of that makes a huge difference in the energy that you send out, right? You can see that in people when you meet them, how they're postured, how they're walking. It shows a lot what's going on in their mind, don't you think?
Absolutely. I agree with you there, because if you see somebody who's feeling down, they tend to be hunched or they tend to be leaning forward, and people who are happy are more open and standing upright.
Yes.
It is.
So
it's very interesting.
If you would sit totally slouched and like this depressive kind of posture, and if you'd start to think positively, it will not help so much.
Oh,
you know what I mean? If you only think different and you still sit like that, it will be
help.
Like a... Exactly. You need to bring it into the to your whole being. So that's why I think this is so powerful. And also the meditation in itself is raising your vibration. It helps you to find new perspectives of your life in general, because it takes away this monkey mind that is just like shattering all this blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And it helps you to see new perspectives. So at least from my point of view, these three things is amazing combination to start to work through the law of attraction, and doing that has changed my life in that's definitely been one of the biggest shifts here in the later years for
me. You're definitely living the life of your dreams at the moment, so it's obviously working for you, Isabel, in terms of your business and what you're doing right now. So you studied coaching for a year, and you've just said there you're a law of attraction life coach. So you're actively coaching people now as part of your business also.
Yes, definitely. It is. So it's a combination. Like I said, most of my time is used to, is on the yoga mat, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do take on clients privately as well. And I do a lot of Skype sessions, and I, you know, have all different sort of clients that want to do changes. So my focus is on how to create a lasting change, because that's been interesting thing for me and from related to my own life. So I feel that I know this part.
Isabel, are you a light worker? I'm not entirely sure, but if you are, can you discuss exactly what a light worker does?
Yes, well, I wouldn't, like, if someone asked me what I do, I wouldn't say that I'm a light worker,
okay.
But you could say a light worker is a spiritual guide, we could say that.
Okay.
Or at least that's my way of looking at it. So you could definitely say that I am. I want to be a guide for people that want to grow personally and also spiritually.
Okay.
So what to say? Because I think light worker is something that's kind of a new age
thing of
calling a healer, you
know?
That's
the reason I mentioned it is it's a term that's been thrown around of late and published, and he's a light worker, she's a light worker. And there's a lot of people who just, they don't actually know what a light worker is, but as you described it there, it's more of a spiritual guide.
I would, at least that's my interpretation of it,
okay.
That you kind of being the light and helping people to find their light.
Yeah,
so
that's actually good.
Knowing about the law of attraction and like spirituality is about the basis of it is that everything is energy and that we have this light inside of us, this spark, this life energy. And being a light worker, we could say, is only to be that light for someone else to realize their own light. At least, for me, does that make sense?
That
I'm trying to make sense for myself.
It makes perfect sense. Really perfect sense. And you need to be in touch with the light inside yourself before you can help anybody else get in touch with theirs, obviously. And you have done extensive work in this regard on going deep within and finding your own light. So there's nobody really better to show somebody the light than somebody who's done the amount of work on themselves that you have.
Thank you.
If you're welcome, it's just the truth, really. Isabel, you have created your own yoga and mindset movement course. Can you tell our listeners how exactly to contact you regarding this? And I will also give out the information on the show as well.
Awesome. Well, actually, this is something that's coming up very new. I've been doing this yoga, mindset, and movement courses in Oslo. So I've been doing it live with students for almost 3 years, basically.
Wow.
And I've been trying it out and kind of testing it out with my students to see what's working and not. And so actually now I'm just like a few days from launching my website and my membership site and online course that I'm going to make with Mindset and Movement. Yeah, so I'm so excited for the next year because now I'm ready to bring this out to more people. So it's going to be online courses that is coming up in the springtime next year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So
if you want to give us some information on how people can contact you, do you have your website address yet, or would you prefer if we gave it out at a later time?
Actually, if you would give it out at a later time, would maybe be the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's coming out very soon. But it's like,
we have our show goes on air every week. So what I will do is when your website is fully up and running, I will give out the information and we will give people a reminder of the interview as well. And we'll put it out there and we'll stick it onto the podcast as well. How people can get in touch
I'm
with you.
I'm so happy.
You know, Isabel.
I'm
wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for
no
the interview.
Problem.
I'm so
no
excited.
Problem. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Isabel. And I'm sorry that we don't actually have longer, but it's been very calming speaking with you as well. You do give out a calming energy, and I would definitely be interested in your courses myself.
I'm so excited. Will you share the maybe Instagram and Facebook?
Absolutely.
Because I'm a lot on Instagram, by the way, and like giving out a lot of inspiration and quotes and things every day, basically. So if someone wants to keep on the contact with me, that's definitely a place. Yeah.
Isabel, so how can anybody contact you on Instagram? What is your Instagram handle?
It's isabelstahl.life.
Isabelstahl.life.
Yes.
So
isabelstahl.life.
Dot life.
And you will put it out as well.
Facebook, Twitter?
Yes, Facebook is actually the same name. It's isabelstahl.life.
Okay, and that's fantastic. Isabel, we'll just have to wrap up there, but it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Best of luck with your website.
Thank you.
Please keep in touch with us. We will ask you to probably come on the show again to discuss how your website is going and how the courses are going.
I'm so excited about that.
Thank you so much.
Me.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Isabel. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ross FM 94.6, and that was the legendary Isabel Stahl there. And Isabel can be contacted on Facebook and Instagram as isabelstahl.live, and there are inspirational quotes. We will have Isabel in the studio with us again in the future to discuss how her new website is going, and we will give out details of the website here in Ross FM. If you want any information at all regarding Isabel, please contact us on rossfm.ie, or go onto our Facebook page, Wow World of Women, or alternatively you can contact the show on 00353 83859978, and thank you for listening.